PIN number 597. My hope is built on nothing less. PIN 597. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Life in your will, and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise with an invocation of the Kyrie and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the worship of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Our hymn of praise for this whole month of June is hymn number 412. Today we sing verses 1 and 2 only of this hymn. In 412, come join the dance of Trinity, verses 1 and 2.
The first reading is from Isaiah 65, verses 1 through 9. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walked away in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoked me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servant's sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody today is Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28, and we will read it responsively. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. My help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise the Lord. All you offsprings of Jacob, glorify the Lord. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. For the Lord did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. The Lord did not hide God's face from me, but heard when I cried to the Lord. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat satisfied. Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nation shall worship before the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and the Lord rules over the nations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in the Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many as were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jewish or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel for today, the second Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. We stand each Sunday in honor of the Gospel in our midst, and but due to the length of the Gospel today, I invite you to be seated and get settled in and listen to the Gospel reading. Luke chapter 8. Then they, Jesus and his disciples, arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, pagan Gentile region. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he, a man of the city, had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds, be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons have entered him. They begged him, Jesus, not to order them to back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down a steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man for whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man for whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. One of the more troubling gospel readings in our scriptures is found in today's reading. I have been a pastor for 36 years, and I began my ministry in Montana with dry land wheat and barley farmers, who some of them ranched to augment the dry land farming. We were in a 10-year drought. And then I had a couple people that raised hogs. Here I am in American Falls, and we have people in this community, too, who have raised hogs. And I read the gospel for today, and I go, "What?" And many theologians for the past 2,000 years have heard this gospel and they go, "What?" But before we even get into today's gospel, think 3 weeks ago, okay? 3 Sundays back, we had another "What?" reading from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Of course you remember it very well, but I'll remind you of what it was about. Okay? Acts 16. One day, as we were going to a place of prayer, we, Paul, Silas, and some of the men, met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, or was a fortune teller, and brought her owners, her masters, a great deal of money for fortune telling. Appropriate for today, Juneteenth, which we'll talk about in the prayers and the like. She had a master, she was a slave. She made lots of money telling fortunes. We talked about that 3 weeks ago. I have nothing against fortunes. My grandfather, who was in the Navy, went to them, and they prophesied his life for him, and we all believe them. She brought a lot of money to them. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out. And this is what she said. I love this. These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. How true is that? She wasn't lying. She wasn't telling any falsehood. She kept doing this for many days, however. And Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit in her, I order you in the name of Jesus the Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Because Paul was annoyed that this woman kept following him around and yelling at them, proclaiming the truth. I mean, she was kind of the trumpeter of what was going on, but, you know, he didn't want that. He then exorcises her, not Jane Fonda aerobics, and gets rid of the demon. But when her master saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. The magistrates and the crowd joined in attacking them, stripping them of their clothing, beating them with rods, and throwing them into jail in chains. Huh? But then the rest of the story that you heard 3 weeks ago is that the guy who was the head of the jail, the jailer, and his whole household were converted. Because there was an earthquake, the chains fell apart, the foundations of the jail shook, and all the doors were open, and the poor jailer thought that he had an empty jail. And Paul said, no, we're all here. Don't hurt yourself, because he's going to take his own life. And the jailer then says, what must I do to be saved? I think he was talking about the moment, not about pie in the sky, by and by when you die, kind of being saved. But he took them, he cared for their wounds, and he and his whole household were baptized and became converts to Christianity. That's the miracle of this story. But those poor people that had this slave girl were out of luck. Then today we've got the swineherds. You know, it's a miracle story. Yes, the guy, he's the most outsider of outsiders. I mean, we could list everything, but we won't do that. Read it again. In fact, I'm probably going to read it to you here. But he was the outsider of outsiders. Okay? And yet Jesus is there for him. Listen again. When Jesus and his disciples arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, so we know this is pagan, foreign country. If Jesus is for American Falls and Rockland, boy, those poor people in Pingree and Aberdeen, they're out of luck on the other side of the lake. Geographically, that's what happened 2,000 years ago. This is 14 years ago, and a member of the congregation who was from Aberdeen came to me weeks later and said, what's wrong with the people in Aberdeen, Pastor? I said, nothing. It's just a metaphor and an allegory. She took it seriously. You know, what's wrong with them? Because they're LDS or because they're Roman Catholic? What's wrong? In this story, they were all pagans and Gentiles across the Lake of Galilee in the land of the Gerasenes. And we know that because as Jesus stepped out on the land, a man in the city who had demons met him for a long time. Met him. And for a long time, the man had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. So he's unclean. He was around death all the time. If you're around death, you're unclean. He's a pagan. He's unclean. He doesn't wear any clothes. And he falls down before Jesus. And at the top of his voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. It was the demon speaking to Jesus, not the man. The man was out of his mind, the poor guy. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And then it goes on to talk about how possessed, how enchained, how bound he was by this demon and by this disease. Jesus asked the man, or asked the demon, what is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. They begged Jesus not to order them back into the abyss. Okay, so Jesus is having a conversation with demons now in this story, right? They begged him, don't send us back to the abyss. Let us stay here on earth. And this is where it gets really interesting. Now there was on the hillside a large herd of swine, and they were feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter those, the pigs, the hogs. That's how we know this is the fourth. They ate bacon and pork chops, stuffed or unstuffed. They had ham hocks and pig's ears, and what I like are the cracklins. We used to call them oinkers when I was growing up. You ate the oinkers, which was, you know, cracklins or the pig skin. Chicharrones, I think they're called in the Mexican community. I still love them to this day. They ate hogs and pigs. They raised them. That's how pagan this country was. Jesus let the demons enter the swine. He gave them permission, and the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed into the steep bank, into the lake, and drowned. Well, that's a miracle unto itself, because demons don't like water, we find out. In old history, demons don't like water. The way to get rid of demons is them, or put them in the ocean. Think of the Salem witch hunts so many hundred years ago, not that far away, not thousands of years ago. Salem witch hunt. If the woman drowned, she was innocent. If she didn't drown, then she was full of witches, and she was full of demons, and so we have to drown her again. Demons don't like water. So the story that's shared by the Hebrew people and the early Christians are like, well, they got what they deserved. But I side with what comes up next. It's like, when the swineherd saw what happened, they ran off and told in the city and in the country all of it. And the people came out to see what had happened. And when they came out to Jesus, they found the man for whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, a posture of worship and thanksgiving, clothed, oh boy, and in his right mind. And instead of celebrating, they were afraid. I love that. The slave owners, the masters of the fortune teller girl in Acts 16, were afraid for many reasons, especially economically. How dare Paul take away their livelihood? How dare Jesus take away the livelihood of these poor hog farmers? Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. I love that. Jesus brings a miracle into their midst. He brings life out of death, literally. The guy was living in the tombs, unclean, around death. And they're scared to death themselves. And they say, please leave our country. Go back from where you came. So he gets in the boat, and he goes back to Galilee. Before that happens, okay, the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might return with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The unclean guy with the demons, who has now been healed and clothed and in his right mind, is the first missionary. Figure that out. The first missionary in the Gentile pagan country was this guy who was the most outsider of outsiders. So was the fortune-telling girl when she shared her story also. And that's where we come for today. Today, in our first communion class, and I love the person that said, what's your favorite food, I said, because we talked about food, bread and wine, right? Unleavened bread and wine. What's your favorite food? And the guy said, bacon. Come on, heart. You know, bacon. I would have loved to go visit the Gerasenes and have pork chops and bacon and ham hocks and cracklins, oinkers. But that wasn't what the people of God were all about. Those were unclean people. Those were people who were not supposed to be missionaries of God. And yet, the very first missionary to the Gerasenes, the very first missionary in the pagan country, according to our scriptures, was this unclean, unhealthy man. Go figure. miracle of miracles. Listen again to Galatians, because this is where I'm going with all this, okay? Fortune-telling girl, unclean man, unclean in all the ways. And then we've got Galatians chapter 3. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Think clothing. The guy was not when he was out of his mind, but once he was given the healing, he was clothed at Jesus' feet. There is no longer Jewish or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And what's the promise? What's the covenant, First Communion students? The promise is that you will be children of God. That was the promise to Abraham and Sarah. Your children, your offspring, your nations will be greater than the stars of the heaven and the sands of the seashore. That was the promise. And so the promise is that you are children of God through baptism, which we celebrate all through the 8 weeks of Easter. 8 Sundays, 7 weeks. Children of God who are fed at the table. But who's allowed to come to the table? Who's allowed to be a missionary? Who's allowed words or not? Our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church, our brothers and sisters in the Missouri Church, Missouri Lutheran Church, or Wisconsin Lutheran Church, do not believe that women have the right to speak. They should not be allowed to be ordained. My neighbor, who's a devout Southern Baptist, has many various opinions, very different from mine, and we've talked about it in the street. Haven't come down to blows yet. I agree to it, disagree with her, but she said, no women should be preachers. I've got a second cousin who's an ordained Lutheran pastor in the ELCA, and I'm so proud of her. Supported her financially through seminary even, because I had no kids of my own, right? I had a checkout clerk yesterday at Fred Meyer saying, do you have anyone who will, how did he say it? I wrote it down. Do you have anyone who will be supportive of you this Father's Day? And I looked at him and I said, pregnant pause. Do you have anyone who will be supportive of you this Father's Day? I said, no, I'm not a father, I'm not a grandfather. And he didn't know what to say. I thought, you should have just said Happy Father's Day and call it that, you know. I love it when I was young and I wasn't a father and that people took pity on me and said, oh, but you're a father of so many, you know. We call you Pastor Beek, but you could be called Father Beek. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Who should be allowed to preach the gospel? Who should be allowed to take out the good news? The most unclean, unheard of person to do that is the man in today's story. I feel sorry for the hog farmers. I really do. I think they get a bum rap. Economics. I'm going to talk to Jesus about this story when I die and go to heaven. It's like, what the heck were you thinking? Seemed like a good idea at the time. Let's get rid of them all, pigs included. But Jesus, I love bacon and stuffed pork chops, like you wouldn't believe. Who's allowed to love and be loved by God? We've had that debate in 2009, and in this congregation in 2010. Juneteenth is today. June 19th, 2 days after my sister's birthday. 1865, the African-American slaves in Texas finally learned, months and years later, that they were emancipated. They were free. Nobody told them that. Think of the fortune teller, slave girl. And the master's not wanting to get rid of their income. Okay? Bless the people in Texas. I have nothing against them. Many friends from Texas. This whole month of June, some of you are aware that this Gay Pride Month has been for years and years, since 1969, 1970. June is Gay Pride Month. And then it ends with fireworks and everything on the 4th of July. Oh boy. Pocatello yesterday had Gay Pride Day. I was scared to death to hear what might happen after hearing what happened in Coeur d'Alene just a week or two ago. Who's allowed to be a child of God? Who's allowed to be loved by God? Who's allowed to show God's love and to share that with each other?
Not people of different ethnic backgrounds, no way. Not women, no way, according to some people. Not children, oh no. They can be the best missionaries of all children. In my family, there are long stories of how the children brought the adults back to the church. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith and trust. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise, the covenant, that you too will be like the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore. You know me, I'm the seashore than stars in the heaven. Let me be washed by the baptismal waters of the waves as they come in 24/7 since the beginning of time. You've heard me say, I love the Grand Tetons. I love the Rocky Mountains. They're beautiful, but they're just a pile of rocks. They don't move unless there's an earthquake in Yellowstone. Heard about the floods in Yellowstone? We're going to pray for them today. And then in India, 3 dozen, 4 dozen people have been killed. Thousands are displaced by the monsoons in India, which they are experiencing in Montana and Yellowstone. Who should be allowed to share God's love? Oh, not those people. They're unclean. Not those people. They're out of their minds. Not those people. They're foreigners. Or they're just women. Like heck. First missionaries from the tomb? I mean, we can go back through the Bible and just see how all the people that you don't think are going to be missionaries are. The women from the tomb tell the men who are locked up in the upper room, First Communion students. And they don't believe them. They think that it's idle rubbish, and they still are in fear. God brings you life. God brings you love in the most strange ways. And we shouldn't be afraid of it. We shouldn't fear one another, whether we look different or whether we act different or whether we are from different places. There is no longer Jewish or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. End of sentence. Period. Amen.
Thank you.
and to rise from the prayers of the church also. We confess our faith in these same words, the Apostles' Creed found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, in the prayers of the church, remembering our prayers in the church, our Bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kemple, we pray this whole month of June for our mission partner ministry, Hope House in Marcy, Idaho, their staff and their residents. Nationally and around the world, we pray for Ukraine, Russia, and the nations around the world involved in the war. We pray for all people who have lost property and life, especially due to the flooding in Montana and India. The fires rage in New Mexico. We pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, and EMTs, and all first responders to each of these crises. And then Juneteenth, which is a federal holiday now in the United States, commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans on June 19, 1865. It's the newest of our federal holidays, only instituted last year, a year ago. And so we pray for those people involved in that. A prayer of thanksgiving, joys, and celebration, we pray for all fathers, grandfathers, uncles, and brothers, all men who have cared for and nurtured us in our lives. And then certainly pray for all those who are sick, hospitalized, or in need in any way. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Holy God, you hear the cries of those who seek you. Give to your church the gifts of bishops, pastors, priests, ministers, missionaries, and leaders who reveal your promises of our being your children, your people, and having a home in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Holy God, you hear the cries of the earth, the universe, and all creation. Restore places where land, air, and water have been harmed or destroyed by wind, fire, flood, or human greed. Help us to be good stewards of all that you give to us as a blessing and a gift.
Hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. Holy God, you hear the cries of all the peoples of the earth. Be with those who are marginalized or cast out of society because of nationality, economic status, gender, illness, or oppression in any form. On this Juneteenth observance, bring freedom, justice, and liberty to all of your beloved children around the world and across our nation. Take from us all hatred, fear, violence, and war. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Holy God, you hear the cries of all your children. Bring peace to any experiencing mental illness, that they may clearly know of your presence in their lives. Be present with those who are in pain, suffering, lonely, distressed, fearful, or anxious, especially those whom we now lift before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Send us as your healing presence and missionaries in their lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you hear the cries of those who celebrate and those who grieve on this Father's Day. Comfort those for whom this day brings sadness, sorrow, or longing. Nurture love and tender care in all relationships, especially as we celebrate the men in our lives who nurture and care and who are there for each of us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for this congregation, St. John's Lutheran Church. Lord God, do a new thing within us. Build up and strengthen the ministries and missions of this congregation. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your hope, your love, and your joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of compassion, we pray for all who are working through and suffering from this world pandemic. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those who we lift before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration of their life. Turn our mourning into the joy of the resurrection and new life in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the second Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station at broadcast. Happy birthday today to Robbie Joel Colton, Kristen Winder. Happy birthday this week to Tracy Bauer, Clay Erickson, Theo Harmerson. Happy anniversary this week, it's June after all, to Sid and Marilyn Allen and Gary and Diane Sims. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page with the week's events listed on the schedule there. To highlight a few of those, council meeting on Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, church cleanup day on Friday and Saturday beginning at 9 a.m. until we are finished. And then also Vernon Wetzel's family asked to have an announcement put in the bulletin. I'll let you read it. We've got a couple weeks to prepare for it. Read that announcement about Vernon Wetzel's birthday, 95 years old. Thank you to Marita Polson and Marilyn Allen for the gift of music this morning and for their music ministry. Are there any corrections to the announcements found in the bulletin? I will then turn it over to you.
Good morning. This one is about Women's Retreat, which happens in 1 month up at Luther Heights. So if all of this craziness around weather and anything else that is getting to you and you need a breakaway, it starts July the 15th. It's a Friday, and it starts at like 6 o'clock. And you get 41 hours away from all of it. Now, I had the best husband in the world, no kidding, who would look at me like the 1st of May and go, "When is Women's Retreat? You need a break." So he would actively encourage me to do that. And so if you need a break and you need somebody to actively encourage you, and hopefully if you've got a husband, a father, whatever, they're telling you that, then come talk to me. It costs $115. We've got scholarship money. You register on the internet. And I did it this year. I can help. All right, so that's all my commercial. So think about Women's Retreat. Thanks.
I invite communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time in preparation for communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 465, As the Grains of Wheat. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Thank you.
Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand or to rise for the great Thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal. Page 144. The Lord be with you.
All's prepared. Come. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you this day, every day of your life. Lord, peace always. Amen. The body of Christ given to you. 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 Our Lord Jesus Christ loves you very much, born that love always. Amen. The body of Christ given to you. 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 The body of Christ. Body of Christ given to you. Body of Christ given to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you this day and every day of your life. Go in His peace and grace. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves you very much. Go in that love for us. Blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you.
Please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith and trust toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, immortal praise. Hymn 848.